Our Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the privilege you have given us to worship you together. Thank you for each one who is here. Lord, we know that you are faithfully working in our lives. We can count on you. You love us. You care for us. You're constantly thinking about us. You've promised you'll never leave us. Father, what an awesome God we serve, a loving God who is faithfully working all things together in our lives for our good. Lord, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that you are faithful. Whatever's going on in our lives, Father, help us just to always look to you and know that even though we may not understand your ways, which are different than our ways, they are always good and always good and what is best for us. And we thank you that we can depend on you. Thank you for what you are working to accomplish in our lives as you seek to help us become more like Christ every day. Thank you for your word, where we learn about you, we learn about your expectations of us. Father, you created us and designed us, and as we live in obedience to your word, that enables us to enjoy life the way you designed us to live. So I pray that we would have open hearts and minds to listen as we study your word together this morning. I pray that the Holy Spirit will just teach each one of us what you want us to learn and help us, Father, to desire to put it to practice in our lives and live faithfully to serve you. I just pray that you'll guide the Sunday school teachers as they're teaching the children your word this morning as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This guy went to the doctor and he was concerned about his lessening level of energy. He told the doctor he wasn't able to do all the things around the house that he used to be able to do. So the doctor gave him a thorough examination, and when he was done, the guy said, "Now, doc, I can take it. Tell me in plain English what's wrong with me." The doctor said, "Okay, in plain English, you're just lazy." "Well, that's a relief," said the guy. "Now give me the medical term so I can tell my wife." I think he was perfectly content being lazy as long as he had an excuse for his wife to believe that it was something other than that. I wonder, have you been thinking or wondering why you're not getting as much done at home or at work? Maybe you don't have the energy that you used to, or maybe some things aren't as important to you as they used to be. Or maybe you're tired of doing the same things. Or maybe you're just lazy. I know that's my problem some of the time, just being lazy. I don't think any of us really wants to admit being lazy, but if we're honest, I think we all do have our lazy moments, don't we? But I wanted to ask you an even more serious question. Have any of you been wondering why you're not getting as much done spiritually? In your spiritual life, you don't feel like you're growing much spiritually, or maybe you wonder if people even see Christ in you. You know you're supposed to be Christ-like. Do they see Christ in you? Or maybe you're wondering if you're ever even growing to become more like Christ. Is it possible that you're just being lazy spiritually? You know, it can be overwhelming, I understand, and even intimidating to think about being like Christ. I mean, who can be like Christ? He's God in human flesh. And that's asking quite a bit of us to think that we could be like him. And sometimes I think we can feel inadequate and incapable of really doing that. And if we're not careful, we can be discouraged in our spiritual life. As we mentioned earlier in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, Paul exhorted us to demonstrate the same type of selfless humility that Christ demonstrated when he served us on the earth. He put us ahead of himself, and he served us. He even died for us. And that's the example Paul says we should follow. Then last week, remember, in verses 12 and 13, he encouraged us to work out our salvation, to put our faith into practice, to live it out in our lives, to become more like Christ, to serve him faithfully. And he assured us, though, that God will help us. God is at work within us to give us both the desire and the ability to do what He asks us to do. But I understand that, you know, it still can be a tall task for us to think about, wow, becoming like Christ. That is just almost an overwhelming thought, even though we know the Holy Spirit will help us. How can we measure up to what it means to be like Christ? Well, as Paul continues in his letter to the Philippians, he's going to refer to two men who served together with him. And Dave mentioned them this morning, Timothy and Epaphroditus. As Paul describes these believers, realize they're just ordinary believers. They're not anybody special. They're not an apostle like Paul. They're just ordinary believers, and they are seeking to follow Christ's example and live Christ-like lives. And as we observe these two men, I want you to be thinking, now, these are people just like me. And if they can serve Christ, then I can serve Christ. I can follow, see their example of what that looked like in their lives. We'll see two different types of men and how they faithfully serve Christ as they sought to become more like Christ in their lives. And as we look at their example, ask yourself which one you might be more like. It's not like they're two separate categories, but they're just two individual people that are great examples for us of living Christ-like lives. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 2 and look at these two men, these two examples of living Christ-like lives, how to be servants and like Christ was for us. So Timothy is the first man that we're introduced to, and we learn from him that Christ-like servants are servant leaders. One way to be a Christ-like servant is to be a servant leader. Paul commended Timothy as a servant leader in verse 19 of Philippians 2. He says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition." Now, Paul had just written in the prior verses that he rejoiced that his sufferings for serving Christ were helping the Philippians to mature spiritually and helping them to serve Christ in the midst of their suffering. And he encouraged the Philippians to rejoice in the midst of their suffering like he was rejoicing, because it was an honor, a privilege to serve Christ, even to suffer for him. So now he's telling the Philippians, remember, this is a letter that he wrote to them. He wanted to send Timothy to minister to them and then report back to him how they were doing. Were they rejoicing in the midst of their suffering? Were they continuing to be faithful as he was challenging them to be? Now, Timothy would be a great spiritual leader to them, and Paul understood that, and that's why he wanted to send him. He would teach them the truths that he had learned from Paul, and he would help them mature spiritually and help them serve Christ. And you notice Paul was confident that Timothy would bring back an encouraging report. He said, "I'm going to send him so that when I learn of your condition, I may be encouraged." He knew that they were faithfully serving God. Now, Paul was confident also that God would work this out in his timing. He noticed he was seeking the Lord's direction. He says, "I hope in the Lord." He never wanted to put his desires or his plans ahead of what God's plans were for him, but this is what he felt the Lord was leading him to do, to send Timothy. Paul was always thinking about the well-being of other people, and he was other-centered. He thought about others first, and he was a good example to Timothy. Now, Timothy, the people in Philippi knew him. When Paul established a church 10 years prior to this, he was serving with Paul. And so they knew him and knew him well. He was Paul's apprentice, and he knew Timothy. Paul knew Timothy was a servant leader. He would minister to the Philippians and encourage them. So Paul then goes on to explain three qualities of Timothy as a servant leader that made him the best man for this responsibility to go back to Philippi. And there's three qualities that we learn here of a servant leader when it comes to serving like Christ. The first quality of a servant leader that we see in Timothy is he was others-centered. Just like Paul, he was others-centered. Verse 20, Paul says, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare." The term kindred spirit there means one soul, has the idea of people who are like-minded. So Paul told the Philippians that Timothy thought like he did, acted like he did, ministered like him, had the same passions and goals and priorities as him. Timothy loved people, cared for them like Paul. So Paul says Timothy would genuinely be concerned for your welfare. He would do everything he could to meet their physical, their spiritual needs. Now, sadly, did you catch Paul explained that Timothy was the only one that would truly care for them like he would, like Paul would. He would be the next best thing to Paul himself coming to minister to them. He says, "I have no one like Timothy, but he's like me. We're like-minded. We serve the same way, and I can trust him to come and minister to you." Like Paul, Timothy was others-centered. Now, think about this from Paul's perspective here. Paul's imprisoned. He's chained to a guard and under house arrest kind of is the setting. But he has no freedom to leave. But Timothy is there. He's his right-hand man. And he is serving with Paul. And notice Paul being the example of Timothy of this other-centeredness. He's willing to allow Timothy to leave. And you know, he's helping him and assisting him while he's in prison, but he's saying it's more important for him to come to you, the Philippians, because you need him, and I want to send him to you. The example Paul was to Timothy of this other-centeredness is very important to realize there. Paul cared so much about those believers, he was willing to send Timothy, who was ministering to him, to go and minister back to the Philippians. And following Paul's example, Timothy was willing to go and minister to them. You see, Timothy was a leader who he truly had a servant's heart. He was others-centered. There's another quality of a servant leader we see in Timothy, and that is that he was Christ-honoring. Christ-honoring. Verse 21, Paul continues, "For they, though the others compared to Timothy, they all seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus." So Paul's lamenting the fact that the leaders, probably the "they" that he is referring to here, is other church leaders in Rome there where he is. There's no one else here or no solid Christian that is a servant leader at heart that I could send that would care for you like Timothy. Because he says they all seek after their own interests, not the interests of Christ. None of them was willing to make the personal sacrifice to go to Philippi to minister to the believers. They didn't want to expend their time, their energy, their resources to go. You see, these people, in contrast to Timothy, these believers, they were more concerned with their own comfort and their success than they were other people and how they could minister to them. They didn't want to be inconvenienced, have to take up root and go somewhere else. They were worldly-minded. They were self-centered. They were self-honoring. You see, their goal wasn't to honor Christ. They wanted to honor themselves. Now, likely, some of these believers were the ones Paul said back in chapter 1 that they preached out of envy and strife and selfish ambition rather than pure motives. They were seeking to cause him distress in his imprisonment. Back in chapter 1, 15 and 17, he refers to those, and likely that's this group that he's talking about here, that put in their interests ahead of Christ's interests. But Timothy, in stark contrast, he was willing to put Christ's interests ahead of his own. He was willing to honor Christ in whatever he did. He was not only willing, he was eager. He wanted to do whatever Christ wanted him to do, to say whatever Christ wanted him to say, go wherever Christ wanted him to go. And if Paul wanted him to go to Philippi, he was ready to go. I think Timothy, like Paul, had the attitude that Paul expressed in chapter 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ." Timothy sought to honor Christ. And that's why Paul said, he's the only one like him. that I want to send. He's a servant leader. He is Christ honoring. There's a third quality of a servant leader that we see in Timothy, and that is that he was self-sacrificing. He was self-sacrificing. Verse 22, Paul goes on to say, "But you know of his," that's Timothy, "his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father." Paul's reminding the Philippians of Timothy's faithful and diligent service to them while he and Paul had been there in Philippi years earlier, but also how he continued to serve with Paul since that time. You know of his reputation, and you know that he is truly a servant leader. He is self-sacrificing. Timothy had sacrificed his personal ambitions, his plans that he might have had for his life in order to serve Christ alongside Paul. You see, Timothy is an up-and-coming leader, and he's going to be pastoring the church in Ephesus. Paul will write a couple letters, 1st and 2nd Timothy, to him. So Timothy is in a leadership training responsibility. And Paul said, but he is self-sacrificing. He wasn't anxious to start his own ministry to gain his own notoriety like these other people that were putting their interests ahead of Christ's interests. Paul said Timothy was like a child serving his father. What kind of image does that give you? What does a child want to do with his father? He wants to please him, wants to be with him, wants to honor him, wants to impress him. Timothy was sacrificing, again, everything that he might have wanted to pursue in his life, even from a ministry perspective, in order to serve with Paul. He sacrificed what he might have longed for. He was a servant leader who was self-sacrificing. And again, we see that Timothy learned this self-sacrificing quality from Paul, as Paul continues in verse 23. He says, "Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself also will be coming shortly." Again, think about it from Paul's perspective. He's willing to sacrifice his own personal needs that Timothy was able to meet as Timothy ministered to him so that Timothy could go and minister to these believers in Philippi since Paul himself couldn't go. He said again, he's trusting God that he too will be able to come if God in his plan works that out. But Paul was putting those Philippian believers ahead of himself and sacrificing what he might have enjoyed in order for their benefit. And we see Timothy doing the same thing there. Timothy was ready to go because he was self-sacrificing like Paul. So here we see Timothy, a servant leader. Do you think you could serve Christ like Timothy as a servant leader? You see in him the qualities of serving Christ that you could emulate. Now, a servant leader is not necessarily someone who has a title. It's not a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, an elder, or somebody who's recognized at a position of leadership. Servant leaders can be anyone who the Holy Spirit uses to help other people grow spiritually, to help other people serve Christ. You could be in a role as a mentor for someone or an accountability partner or just having a desire to influence other people so that they grow in their relationship with Christ. I think all of us can strive to emulate the Christ-like characteristics we see in Timothy of a servant leader. We can be other-centered by loving others and seeking to meet their needs. We can be Christ-honoring by seeking to please Christ and honor Him rather than ourselves. We can be self-sacrificing by being willing to sacrifice our time, our energy, our resources to use those to serve Christ. Is that asking too much? I mean, here's an example. Timothy, of somebody who was a servant leader. I think we all can strive to be servant leaders like Christ, like Timothy was. But in case that seems a little intimidating to you to think of the leadership part of it, well, Epaphroditus gives us another example of what it means to serve Christ. An example, he is more, what we might say, an example of a loving servant. Timothy is a servant leader. Epaphroditus, Epaphroditus is a loving servant. Paul commended Epaphroditus as a loving servant. Verse 25, he says, therefore I hope to send him, let's see, verse 25, but I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Now, the Philippians had sent Epaphroditus to visit Paul in Rome. Remember, they had collected an offering to help with Paul's needs. He brought that offering to Paul, and the goal was that he would stay with Paul and minister to him and help any way he could, as long as Paul needed him there. Epaphroditus must have been well respected and trusted by this congregation of believers in Philippi, that they would entrust him with this large offering and that they would entrust him to go and minister to Paul. You know, they loved Paul, and so they weren't going to just send somebody that would do nothing. They wanted somebody who would truly minister to him. Epaphroditus, he wasn't some prominent leader in the church. We don't get any idea that he had any great talents or gifts or achievements. Again, just an ordinary believer who is a loving servant. He was willing to go minister to Paul any way he could. He loved the Lord, he loved Paul, and he was ready to serve both of them. Paul informed the Philippians that he was sending Epaphroditus back to them. Most likely, Epaphroditus carried this letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian believers and delivered it to them. So Paul explains to the believers three qualities that we can see in Epaphroditus of a loving servant that made Paul proud of him and the way that he was serving him. One quality we see in Epaphroditus of a loving servant is he was team-oriented. He was team-oriented. Verse 25, continuing, he says, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need. Notice, Paul describes Epaphroditus' ministry in relationship with him and his relationship with the believers in Philippi. His description of Epaphroditus as he ministered to him was that he was a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier. See, Paul viewed Epaphroditus as a teammate. They were working together to serve Christ. As his brother, Epaphroditus shared a deep, loving bond with Paul, and based on their relationship with Christ as they served together, that united them. As a fellow worker, Epaphroditus supported and encouraged Paul in carrying out his ministry as he served Christ. As a fellow soldier, there's more the idea of that Epaphroditus persevered through the suffering and all that was a part of being a Christian. Paul's imprisoned and Epaphroditus is suffering right along then with him. But as a fellow soldier, not turning away from the battle, Paul viewed Epaphroditus as his teammate in ministry. He described Epaphroditus as the Philippians. Now he's saying, now here's how he was a teammate with you. He was your messenger and minister to my need. As the messenger, remember, they sent him as their messenger to give the gift and to report to them, to Paul, how the church was doing. As a minister, they had sent him to minister to Paul's needs. They couldn't all go, so they sent Epaphroditus. Paul described Epaphroditus as a team member from the church in Philippi who had come to minister to him, to serve Christ together. Epaphroditus was a loving servant. He was team-oriented, willing to work with anyone and everyone to serve Christ. Another quality we can observe about Epaphroditus as a loving servant is he was compassion-motivated. He was compassion-motivated. Continuing verse 26, Paul thought it necessary to send Epaphroditus because he was longing for you all and was distressed because of you, because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. So while Epaphroditus was in Rome with Paul, he got deathly sick. Nothing else is said. We don't know what it was. And word got back to the Philippians about Epaphroditus, this beloved member of their church, that he was about to die. He was so sick. And of course, they were all very worried about him. And Paul admits that he too was very worried about him. And he said, you know, if he had passed away, I would have grieved deeply, sorrow upon sorrow. That's how much compassion that Paul felt from Epaphroditus. And if he would have died, that would have just been a very grievous thing for Paul to go through. The loss of such a loving servant would be devastating to Paul, the compassion that Epaphroditus showed him. So Paul explains to the Philippians here that Epaphroditus became worried about the people back at his home church. He's sick, almost dying. The people back home hear about it. They're terribly worried about him. He hears how worried they are about him, and he's worried about them. It's fascinating, and what Paul is emphasizing here, he wasn't thinking about himself and what he was going through. He was, you know, about to die, but his concern was for the people back home. He heard they were distressed, and he's distressed about their distress. The compassion that oozes out of Epaphroditus, as Paul describes him, is so clear. His current concern was not for his own life, but for the grief people back home were experiencing because of him. He felt compassion for them. He wanted to assure them that he was okay. That's why Paul says he longed for them. Epaphroditus wasn't quitting and saying, I don't want to do this anymore, but he was so concerned about those people back home that he wanted them to be assured that he was okay. So that's why Paul explained he's sending Epaphroditus home to relieve their worry about him, and also to relieve his worry about the people as they're concerned about Epaphroditus as well. And Paul encouraged them to rejoice with Epaphroditus. When he gets there, rejoice. You should have joy in welcoming him back. You see, Epaphroditus had been a loving servant to him. He was compassion motivated, and Paul saw that. And even though he would have dearly wanted Epaphroditus to stay because of his ministry to him, again, we see him willing to allow him to go back home. A third quality of a loving servant that we see in Epaphroditus is he was Christ-focused. He was Christ-focused. Verse 29, Paul says, "Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me." Paul urges the Philippian believers to honor Epaphroditus as a loving servant of Christ. He had risked his life to faithfully serve Christ. He had done what they had sent him to do. He delivered the gift, and he was ministering to Paul. And Paul wants them to understand he did not fail. He's not coming back as a failure. He's not coming back because he wasn't doing a good job, or he wasn't focused, or he just was homesick. Honor him. Honor him as a loving servant. They should in no way think that Epaphroditus didn't complete his mission. Paul wants them to understand, I have sent him back. It's not that he asked to. I'm sending him back to you, and you should welcome him and honor him. He diligently served Paul as their representative when they couldn't be there themselves. That's what he means at the end of verse 30, that he was risking his life to complete what was deficient in their service to him. They couldn't all be there, so they sent Epaphroditus in their place. And Paul is saying he did a great job, but I thought it was important that he come back to you. They should rejoice that Epaphroditus had been so Christ-focused that he had been willing to risk everything to serve Christ and Paul. He says there, because he came close to death for the work of Christ. He was willing to serve in any way he could because he was focused on Christ. Not his own life, not the suffering he was going through, not almost dying, but I'm serving Christ. They should highly esteem loving servants like Epaphroditus, because you see, he's just one of many who is a loving servant, someone who can truly serve the Lord as he did. They should esteem all loving servants like Epaphroditus who are willing to faithfully serve Christ no matter what it may cost them. You see, Paul encourages them to honor Epaphroditus because it would be easy for them to honor and the servant leaders. Servant leaders tend to be more visible. They're people see what they're doing because they're kind of in leadership roles, whether it's formal or informal. And it would be easy for people to recognize that and honor those. But those people who are loving servants, so much of what they do is behind the scenes. They don't get any recognition. Nobody may even know what they're doing. They just do it because they love the Lord and they love people and they are serving. And I think that's why Paul emphasizes Epaphroditus was a loving servant. Honor him and honor all people who love the Lord and serve him like Epaphroditus did. Epaphroditus deserved honor as a loving servant who was Christ-focused. So here's Epaphroditus, an example of serving Christ. Do you think you could serve Christ like Epaphroditus did? I think we'd all agree that all of us can be loving servants. Again, that doesn't require any special abilities or skills or training, just to love the Lord, love people, and serve any way we can, regardless of the cost. It requires a willingness to be used by the Holy Spirit to minister. Remember, the Holy Spirit works through us to minister to others, to serve Christ, and we can depend on Him to do that. You know, there's varieties of opportunities every day that the Spirit provides for us to be loving servants to other people. Every person we come in contact is a possibility, an opportunity to serve Christ, however that may be. And each of us has different gifts and abilities and skills and experiences and personalities. And what's so wonderful is the Holy Spirit blends all those together as He uses each of us. It's the body of Christ example that Paul gives, where we each have our special gifts, abilities. The Holy Spirit uses all of us. And if we're just willing to be loving servants, He will work through us to minister to other people. I encourage you to take advantage of the opportunities God gives you to be a loving servant. Be team-oriented. Be willing to serve Christ together with each other. There's no competition. We're not trying to outdo each other or be critical of each other. We're on the same team. We need to seek to serve Christ together. Again, we have our unique contribution to make in serving Christ, and the Holy Spirit will work and blend us all together to do that. Be compassion motivated. Care about other people's needs more than your own. Be Christ-centered, not self-centered. And believe this, the more you put others ahead of yourself and serve them out of love, the more joy you'll experience in your life. Because this epistle that Paul wrote is all about joy, and this is a formula for joy, putting other people ahead, serving Christ, serving them, being compassion motivated, looking out how we can minister. Be Christ-focused. Be willing to risk everything to serve Christ. Whatever God asks of you, whatever opportunity He gives you, realize whatever resources you have, they're given you by God to use in serving other people in some way. And you know God's going to be faithful to provide all your needs, and He'll give you what you need to serve and minister to other people. And, you know, in case you're wondering, well, what if nobody notices? What if nobody appreciates? Remember, Christ sees everything. And just as Paul urged them to honor those loving servants who maybe nobody knows anything about, they're serving behind the scenes, God sees that, and He rewards us. And so we need to strive to be Christ-focused. So are you more like a Timothy or more like an Epaphroditus? I think we can see qualities in both of them that we can emulate in our lives. We are to be like Christ. These are two ordinary believers that Paul is writing to and describing what his plans are, and we see how they were faithfully serving Christ. We're to imitate Christ, to be Christ-like servants. We can count on the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. So let's not be lazy. Let's not be guilty of being lazy spiritually by making excuses for why maybe we're not serving like Christ. We have no excuse. We have the Holy Spirit to help us and guide us, provide opportunities. And we have two wonderful examples of what it looks like. Be a servant leader or be a loving servant. Ask God to help you to follow Christ's example and see how He can use these examples in your life to help you faithfully serve every day. Father, thank you for teaching us from your word. Thank you for the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus and Paul. Lord, help us to desire to grow closer to Christ every day, to become more like Him, to serve like He served us. Father, what an incredible example that is to live up to. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be self-defeating and say we can't measure up to Christ. That, Lord, that we would just desire to serve. Lord, use us to be servant leaders as you give opportunities. Use us to be loving servants. But Lord, help us to not be lazy. Help us to take advantage of the opportunities you provide and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us to serve as Christ served us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.